From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Today, as we return to Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, we continue with the subject, laboring to produce fully mature Christians. We've emphasized the role of the message in the maturing of God's people, and now we're looking at the method, namely preaching. And we'll have a lot more to say about that as the program proceeds. But first we turn for today's daily devotional Bible study to a wonderful text in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The subject is, a light to chase the gloom. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Strange things happen to us at times. They baffle us, they distress us, and they try us. Often we feel like Jacob's sons when they asked in bewilderment, Genesis 42:28, what is this that God hath done unto us? What in the world is going on? There's nothing new in all this. The psalmist Asaph had so many troubles in his life that he felt, according to Psalm 77:7-9, that the Lord had forsaken him. Haven't we all felt like this at times? And hasn't Satan used every such trial to seek to embitter our souls and make us become wearied and faint in our minds? Let's always remember this. When we don't know what in the world is happening, the Lord does. He's working out His purpose of grace toward us. All things work together for good to all His people. All things, not just some things, all things are for our good, even when we can't see how they can possibly be for our good. When circumstances are difficult in the extreme, we should remember that the Lord is thinking about us. Psalm 40, verse 17 says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Instead of worrying, think of Him who thinks constantly of you, and then see how much lighter the burdens of life become. The Lord never intends evil to His blood-bought people. He never deals with us except in mercy. He constantly pursues a policy of peace toward us. Then, begone dull care and unbelief. I will stay my mind upon Jehovah, my salvation, and He will keep me in His perfect peace. The Lord intends to give us our expected end. He'll not disappoint our hope for glory. He has placed that hope within our hearts, and He will fulfill it. With God as our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our Comforter, and heaven as our home, should we not soar above the worries of life and enjoy the peace of confidence in Him who knows what He's doing? John Flavel, the Puritan divine, gives us our thought for today. Flavel said, as God did not at first choose you because you were high, so He'll not forsake you because you're low.
Thank you.
Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program, we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago, we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now, we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but he is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and he's the God of prophecy. And therefore, he is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now, you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose while our supplies last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you. And we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel.
If thou wouldst offer God to guide thee, and hope in him through all thy ways,
he'll give thee strength whatever betide thee, and bear thee through.
Trust in God's unchanging love, built on the rock that naught can move. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving in every lane. Trust his word, though undeserving, thou yet shalt find it true for thee. God never yet forsook in me the soul that trusts in him.
As we return now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, to deal with the subject of laboring to produce fully mature Christians, we pick up where we left off yesterday, having emphasized the message that is absolutely fundamental if we are ever to have fully mature Christians, the message of Christ in all its glorious fullness. We now turn to the method. We have emphasized already that the method of God's steward, Paul called himself that in verse 25, is preaching or proclaiming. I'm returning to that today before proceeding, because this is something that I feel is falling a little out of fashion, more than a little indeed in many places. Dr. Paisley back in Northern Ireland has a saying that sermonettes breed Christianettes. And I think there's a lot of truth in that sort of sardonic, witty summary of what's been happening in so many churches, where preaching takes a back seat to just about every other activity that people can dream up. And yet, according to the New Testament, this is the primary method in the building up of the people of God. So let's pay attention now as we take up that subject once again. When it comes to the main heart working of the Church of Jesus Christ, Paul emphasizes preaching, proclaiming. Now here I've got to be careful, because this opens up a very big area that I feel very strongly about. I'm going to sound critical. I'm not wanting to be critical, but I am going to sound the note. And our seminary had better sit up and take notice as well as the rest. There is this strange notion nowadays that there's only one way to preach, and this is the Reformed way. God save us from this sort of stupidity. That we've got to start in Genesis in the morning and maybe Matthew in the evening, and we've got to do a chapter and just go through almost liturgically by some calendar. And that preaching is the ability to parse the Hebrew and the Greek and analyze the structure of the passage and give the people all the bones of how this is written. And when we have done that, we have given them all that we need to give them. And that will be the death of a church, as far as it being a vibrant witness for Christ. I've even heard preachers criticize the great prince of preachers, Spurgeon. He was not expository. Spurgeon did more expositing, if I may coin the phrase. Well, I didn't coin it. I've used a phrase, or a word, should I say, that really doesn't exist. He did more expounding before his breakfast than these preachers have done in their lifetime. What I'm saying is this. There is a place for the preacher to know all the technicalities. But what the world is crying out for, and what the church is crying out for, is for a man to come with a message from God. A message, not a sermon. Not some little skeleton where people are going to choke on the fish bones of that skeleton. But a message from God that will move the heart, will storm the battlements of the will, will instruct the intellect, and will demand of God's people, through a sight of Christ, a total devotion to Him. Proclaiming with authority the word of the Lord. That's how Paul said about producing fully mature Christians. I'll tell you something. That has more effectiveness than all the little so-called practical methods. It has more effectiveness than even all the counseling that can be done. I was interested when I was reading some of the statements of the late Martin Lloyd-Jones, that he found exactly what I had found, and I was glad that he was saying the very same thing. He said there were times when people made appointments to come and see him, and when they got there they said to him, "Dr. Lloyd-Jones, I'm here out of courtesy because I made an appointment to see you and I felt I had to keep it, but I really don't need to be here. Since I made the appointment, I've been listening to the messages, and God has already met the need and answered the question." Doesn't always happen that way, but I'll tell you, that happens more often than you would imagine. Because this is God's ordained way. It's the most important thing. The proclamation. He says, "I preach." That's what produces strong Christians.
Then he says, there's a warning. Now, the word warning here is a word that I've already drawn your attention to in an earlier study as I cross-reference to this verse. It's a word that means admonishing. But the idea is training a person or training a child. The idea in the training here is not training by chastening, not training by action. We all know what that means. When you had to bend over, I remember our gym teacher in our school was a very good trainer. And he always kept what you would call a tennis shoe. We called them gutties. How they ever got that name, I have no idea. Plimsolls are gutties. But anyway, he kept one of those. And when you bent over and you had only a pair of running shorts on, there wasn't much to protect you, he applied that to the seat of learning. And I can tell you, that was training by action. And you learned pretty quickly, or you didn't sit down for a week. This is not that kind of training. This is training by word. And the word may be a word of encouragement. It may be a word of rebuke. It may be a word of instruction. And we all need all of those things at times. Here he's talking about training by word. When you get into the gospel, how much there is to encourage you. You come to church this morning, your heart's down, your heart's heavy. The outlook's bleak and black. Satan's firing his darts at you, and you feel isolated and alone. You wonder what's going to happen next. Where am I going to turn? How can I ever get through? My life's in vain. I've tried, I've failed. You know the thoughts. You've been there, and you'll be there again. You need a word of encouragement. What greater encouragement can you get than when you get into the gospel? And you see Christ, and you're told that in Him you stand complete. In Him you have all the fullness that the mighty wisdom and power of God could ever devise for God's people. In Him you stand possessed of every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That God chose you from eternity, and He'll keep you unto eternity. And in between He promises that He will guide you and keep you and bless you and love you unerringly and unflinchingly. What an encouragement to know that God is your Father. Christ is your Redeemer. The Spirit is your blessed Paraclete. The Bible is your chart and compass and the road to eternity. Heaven is your home, and you're sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. What an encouragement it is. He loves me still, and it will never change. What an encouragement when you feel you've tried and you've failed, and you say, what use is my service? The Lord will not be unmindful of any labor of love. What an encouragement when you get to see Christ in the gospel and you realize that the Lord takes even the poorest, the weakest effort to serve Him and worship Him. And He clothes that effort with all the merit of Jesus Christ, so that what you say or do for God is gathered up by the Savior, covered by His righteous merit, and presented before the throne as something worthy of the name of your God. What an encouragement. All we need it, don't we? But there are times when we need the warning that there are serious issues at stake, that there are serious consequences for every corruption of or departure from the gospel. There's a warning. Perhaps there are Christians here this morning, and you have been hanging loose to the things of God and holding too tightly to the things of the world. And perhaps you need the word of warning today. There are serious consequences involved in that. And Paul raises that warning. there is the need of admonishing, close to warning. Not in the Greek text here, but in the English word admonishing, there is, in its etymology, the idea of a threat. Admonishing. What is he saying? In context here, with heresy swirling around them and corruptors of the gospel trying to get in to keep them back from Christ, he's saying to them, I am calling on you to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm calling for a policy of zero tolerance toward corruptors of the gospel. I am admonishing you. That's what Paul is saying. There's preaching. There's this training by word, this warning. And then he says there's teaching in all wisdom, expounding and explaining the gospel in order to establish them in it. Now, I'm sure you must have noticed as we read the text, the triple reference to every man, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's obviously not accidental. There's something more than stylistic. That's more than something stylistic here. There's something important, something that Paul wants to get through to us. Again, in the context, he's dealing with a heresy that was seeking to create an elite in the church. The heretics presented a subtle message that they spoke of as being one of superior knowledge, superior light. It was for an enlightened elite. It was for an inside group. And Paul throws all that away and he looks at the church as a whole and he says, the gospel is for every man. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. The gospel is for every man in God's church. That's universality. But I want you to notice this. It also stresses individuality. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not just speaking to the Colossians. I'm speaking to you. And I think I'm not going too far when I say that's exactly the message the Lord brings to you today. This is not just generally talking about Christians coming to full maturity in Christ. This is God talking to you individually, personally.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.